Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Mendes. Hope you guys are all well on your Sunday morning as we get ready to look back at yesterday's trying 1-1 draw up at Fleetwood Town. Joining me to look back at that classic, that one for the ages, first up top right is Lewis Catt. How you doing, Louis?
Morning, mate. Yeah, I'm all right. Not too bad. Channeling my inner Benji Cloak after that that game yesterday, I think. It wasn't great, but you take a point, don't you? Another point on the board.
Yeah. So certainly wasn't one to write home about yesterday. Also, on the bottom of the screen there is Mr. Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Yeah, mate, I'm good. Well, I just got soaked. Went for a run, and it is grim out there, isn't it, today? Yeah, I'm not going to do a Nigel Farage and say, you laughed at me after last week. But yeah, you're right. It wasn't a great game yesterday, was it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't our best performance. And yeah, probably quite happy to come away with a point overall. Though it could have been more, though. Of course, Fleetwood equalised in just 6 minutes from time. So we'll hear the goals very shortly. We're going to hear, of course, the post-match reaction from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, who was particularly upset with the playing surface up at Fleetwood Town. We're going to hear from Harry Eisted later on. He spoke to Stubbers after the game. We want to hear from you guys as well. Morning to All Hell Let Loose is in the chat. Ray's in there. Paul's in there, who's going to be joining us as our guest fan later on in the show as well. So we do have a guest fan lined up, Paul Davenport, later on in the show. Morning to Ray, to Jason, to Dudley, to Keith, to Norm. Adrian loves ketchup, says happy St. Patrick's Day to our fellow Irish fans. Happy St. Patrick's Day to those who celebrate. Charlton just says, Charlton says we were awful. I don't know if that's the Charlton official account, but Charlton did say we were awful. Yeah, which I think summed up the game yesterday. It certainly wasn't a classic. Before we hear the goals then, Lou, yeah, it was a long watch after a long day.
It was, wasn't it? Rustic performance, in my opinion. It wasn't great. It was, yeah, just sloppy. I mean, obviously, Fleetwood are down there. They've had a bit of a resurgence under Charlie Adam. Seem to be drawing quite a few games of late rather than winning, hence the position they're in. But, you know, I thought it was a really, really difficult... one, it's always a difficult place to go, but it was a difficult surface yesterday. Not a lot of football could really be played. And you were kind of waiting on teams to capitalise on sort of errors from either side. And obviously, we got our breakthrough through the penalty through Alfie, and then, you know, it took a bit of a defensive mix-up for them to get back into the game, and they were almost the breaks that both sides were waiting for, because anything could have happened on that pitch yesterday. You know, sort of slipped. It was very difficult to keep the ball on the floor. There was a lot of hit and hope, and hoping that someone would become, you know, be the best in the air, which obviously probably worked better for them because of the threat that Jaden had. I thought he played quite well yesterday. So yeah, look, I think all in all, you think you look back in this season and our worst performances we've not come away with a point. So I still feel like there's progress made. And I think we always seem to struggle there. I mean, I get PTSD from the Captain Pugwash song. They seem to always score when we go there. It's not, you know, it's not great. You'd rather come away with a win. The performance wasn't amazing, but that's probably a game we would have lost previously. So you just got to take it as a point in the right direction. And, you know, we've got a week off now, but it feels like we're that point closer to securing safety. So yeah, all in all, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, exactly. It was just one of those days where you take a point and run. At stages, it felt like we might have been taking 3 points and running, but it wasn't to be. And you're right about them always scoring. We've literally never kept a clean sheet up at Highbury. I think that's 7 trips now, and on each of those 7 occasions, we've heard the Captain Pugwash theme music at least once. Well, I think we might hear it here as we listen back to the highlights from Charlton TV. It was Addicts legend Peter Shurtliff who was alongside Greg Stubley.
Long for that diagonal. Yeah. Shurtliff was just asking for, and there's Dobson to flick it on. May trying to get there. And Rooney with the challenge. Hits Alfie May, and Charlton get a penalty. And a pretty much nothing but pure Alfie May endeavour to get to the ball as Rooney went to clear. collides with May. And Charlton have been awarded penalty just before half-time.
Yeah, it was a good header by Dobson, and Alfie May just got a toe to it before the defender was trying to clear it, and it was a bit clumsy, the defender, in fairness. It was definite penalty.
As the referee blows his whistle, Alfie May steps foot and scores for Charlton. Yet again, Alfie May, Charlton's number nine, gives the Addicts the lead. League One's top goal scorer adds to his tally.
I think, you know, if that's the game today, you know. It's a bit of a scrappy goal, a penalty. But if you put their defenders under that much, enough pressure, I think that's what happens. You'll get chances and you'll get indecision like the boy made, and a clumsy challenge. So I do think as the game goes on, if Charlton can just show a little bit of control and get good possession in and around the penalty area, I think they'll create more chances.
May's penalty, goalkeeper dived to his right, May sent him the wrong way.
Throw forward over the head of Stockley. It's ball forward, that might come the way of Graydon, who gets beyond Eisted, and can he finish? He can!
The ball deflected nicely to the substitute, Ryan Graydon, who just about got it beyond Harry Eisted. Fleetwood a level. Eisted made the initial save and then it hit the inside of the post. In a game that has been really scrappy and poor to watch, and that goal was another example of it.
Fleetwood's own goal scorer, number 19, Ryan Graydon.
The lack of concentration there, Greg, on the throw on. I always knew if Stockley flicked it on, there were going to be trouble, and he exactly did that, and nobody went with the runners.
There we go. That's Greg and Pete with the highlights from yesterday. As Mark says on Twitter, highlights on a postage stamp, Louis, is a hard watch. It was a hard watch yesterday. Frustrating that we couldn't hold on, I guess, Ben. But, I mean, overall, your thoughts on the display, the way the game played out?
Yeah, I think we said earlier, didn't we, out of first half, it wasn't very lively. And getting that penalty when we did, obviously, it's a perfect time to score just before half-time. Kind of papered over the cracks of a poor half. And I think nowadays we're looking more at performances more than results, aren't we? I think we think we're quite safe now in this league. And we've had some difficult games where we've had some great results. And now we're playing like the likelier teams where you think we are going to get a better result. And it's poor performances. I mean, in that first half, I don't think we deserve to be winning. I think Eisted made a really good save from Weiradu's shot. And they knew how to trouble us, didn't they? Crosses into the box, that long throws we just couldn't deal with. Stockley was a nuisance. I think there was another save. Eisted tipped it over the bar. And we just didn't seem... I mean, that team, I think it was the third or fourth game, we picked the same 11. It didn't seem like the same 11 because we just weren't connecting well with our passes. We didn't seem to be going up the pitch together well. The only times we were doing well is when they had a goal kick and we pressured them. We like ran straight at them. Kanu and May were a nuisance. We gathered the ball and had like a half chance from that. Or it was long ball forward from the back and we were just dealing with second balls and hopefully we were like getting a knockdown and then trying to build from there. They isolated small. We didn't really get into the game much in that first half because, again, we're coming a bit predictable of how we're playing. I think if you look at a goal, obviously that was a long, hopeful ball through for Dobbo and he heads it on and we get a penalty from that. So, yeah, disappointing that kind of haven't learned our lesson from last week, really. I mean, the first half last week, I thought we were poor, obviously gave away a poor goal. So we went into the break, poor game. Should we be winning? No, but we took our chance. And then I was looking from what we didn't see last week. We're 1-0 up. Let's get two. Come on, let's go into that half. And obviously we'll go on to talk about it. But yeah, a poor first half. But look, we were leading. So happy days. And we're against a side that really need to get something from the game to try and stay up.
Yeah, and we didn't see it out in the end. I mean, our goal, I guess, first, Lou, the endeavour of Alfie May, as pointed out there by Stubbers on the commentary, and it is great to see in a game where he wasn't getting a lot of change that he still puts in that hard work, and it is one of those very clever penalties to win. Like I'm always really frustrated if we give away a penalty like that, because you know what the striker's doing. You can see that he's on the blind side of the defender who's going to try and hoof it clear, basically. So he just knows he just has to get in there and get a touch and he'll draw the foul. But it is smart play from Alfie and a very good penalty into the bottom corner. I mean, Keith said he thought it might have been a soft penalty, but we've had some Stonewall ones not given this season. Dave said that was never a penalty as well. I mean, if we were going to have a penalty in that first half, I would have thought it would have been for the massive tug on Kanu's shirt inside the first 3 minutes rather than the one we got. But I do still think it is a penalty, even if it is one of those where Alfie had to work for it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think the Kanu pen in the first couple of minutes was more likely a penalty than Alfie's. But as you say, the endeavour of Alfie just to get that blind side of the defender almost sort of volleys him instead of the ball, doesn't he? You just need that contact and then the ref's got no choice, really. Well, actually, in League One, you never know. They don't seem to have any choice anyway. But yeah, look, it was, as one of the comments said there, we've had plenty go against us. So it was obviously it's contact. So for me, it is a pen, regardless of how soft. You know, it's still a penalty. And yeah, it shows. I mean, how lucky are we to have Alfie May? Just the not just his goals, but everything, the endeavour, the effort. Obviously, very difficult condition yesterday to get any football played. You know, he's not the most physical of players in terms of height and stuff, and a lot of the ball was played in the air. So as you say, he wasn't really getting much in terms of clean cut chances. So to take his opportunity to try and get involved and try and get the bad side of the defender to win that penalty was good. You know, it's really good, and we come to expect that of Alfie May. You know, he puts in absolutely everything, and he's one of the real positives from this season, and that goes way beyond just the goals that he scored. I think his general attitude, you know, just having that proper number nine, it feels like we've not had someone like Alfie for quite some time, probably looking back to Wright Phillips really as something that we can compare him with. But, you know, what a signing he's been. And it's just such a nice, he's just a great player to have around the place, isn't he? He's one of the most likable characters ever as well. So when he's doing well, we all get behind him. And Nathan, at the start, he took him out, didn't he, at the start? And I was thinking, is he going to suit Nathan's system? To me, it seemed bonkers that he wouldn't. He had that little goal drought maybe, but to still be on, 25 in all competitions and have a goal drought in the middle of, 12 games or so, is pretty phenomenal stuff. So yeah, look, we're really lucky to have Alfie May, and another goal for him yesterday, and I really, really hope he secures that golden boot, because as much as our season's been a disappointing one, for him personally, I think he's been incredible, and there's no more deserving player in this division to secure that award.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of Nathan's style revolves around hard work, and that just oozes out of Alfie. I mean, he never stops running, really, and that's how he won that penalty yesterday. I mean, the goal we conceded, so it was disappointing. You know, you could hear Peter Shurtleff on the commentary saying you've got to win that first header when Stockley won the flick on, and then Braden sort of, or Graydon, I should say, got round. I steered. You sort of, it's one of those ones where it's at a slightly tight angle. So you always see goalkeepers make decisions when sometimes you think in hindsight, you probably didn't have to go for the ball. It was quite tight and maybe just come and close him down. But obviously, he got beaten to it and then he somehow squeezed the ball in via the post and it's just crept in. So, yeah, it was a disappointing goal to concede from our point of view, Ben. And it also wasn't really the first time we saw long throws causing us problems, as you mentioned in that first half. I think their two best chances, the one from Simons that was tipped over and the one from Wiradu where he broke through. It's twice long throws cause a bit of consternation in our defence, and then the midfielder or second runner, whoever, can actually burst through some pretty soft challenges.
Yeah, I think if you look at the goals we've conceded of late, they've been disappointing goals, and they have been crosses where we're just not dealing with them. I mean, the Carlisle goal last week was a very disappointing one, and obviously we didn't deal with the cross that came in, and Gillespie gave away the penalty. And you look yesterday, yeah, as you could tell in that first half, we just weren't in control of those long throws. And I don't even think Stockley touches that ball for the goal, you know. I think his presence, I think he jumps with Thomas and they both miss it. And I think that's probably why Eisted then gets caught up in the heat of the moment, because we miss the first ball and then Gillespie does some wild lunge in there where he's not, again, he worries me. He does have these heat of the moment obviously got it right against Portsmouth in that game, didn't he? But it just, that was wild. And I mean, I'm surprised he wasn't booked afterwards. He might have been, I might have missed it because he clattered that guy. And then it's like, he's got, the ball's gone through two phases of play where we've messed up. And then Eisted obviously rushes off his line, which to be fair, I thought it was the right decision. If the ball sticks and he smothers it, danger's over. But obviously it flicks back off his body. And I think it come off both posts before it went in. I mean, what were the chances of that? It's another poor goal that we've conceded, which I imagine Nathan will be very disappointed at, because other than that, we were restricting them to shots at Eisted, which he was saving well. I wouldn't say there was any clear-cut chances that they made where I was worried that they'd score. I think they were saves that Eisted should be making. But yeah, I think he'll be disappointed with that, because you think he should smother the ball. And yeah, it comes to, should he have come, I think, in that phase of play, because we missed two chances to get it away, then he felt like, I've got to come here. Frustrating, mate. Another frustrating goal to concede.
All hell let loose, says Alfie, was practicing winning that penalty with that tunnel jump he did last weekend, always trying to improve. Yeah, he did go down in very similar fashion, actually, after the contact. Norm says, totally switched off at the back. So many times we've said that this season. Take the pen. One for us was shocked we were giving it. And Gavin Carter says, morning all, it was a tough watch, but awful conditions up there. Unfortunate not to have Connor Wickham involved. Probably would have made a difference for us. And it would have, to have maybe the big physical lump up front, which obviously Fleetwood did have in Stockley. And he does cause problems, Jaden. We said hello very briefly after the game off the pitch. And it's amazing. Like, he's such a nice fella, such a gentle fella off the pitch. But on the pitch, he's a bit of a unit, isn't he? He got caught up in that tangle with Heck at the end, which was quite funny. There were chances at the end for both sides to win it, Lou. And I mean, from our point of view, I saw someone on the forum say, like, the way the ball sits up on the edge of the box, you know, perfect for someone to drill to goal. If you had to pick someone in the side, you'd hoped it maybe wouldn't fall too. I guess it'd be Michael Hector coming off the bench, a big, big lumbering centre-half. He does what he does, but didn't do that particularly well. But then if you then look at the chance that came immediately after, I think it was Terrell who did really well inside the area to then dink a crossover towards the far side. I mean, that's a chance you want to drop to a centre forward, and Freddie Ladapo just didn't quite make the connection on it when you fully would have expected. I think a Freddie in form would be scoring that all day long, but obviously not in form at the moment.
100%. He needed that yesterday, I think, really. That goal could have given him that little bit of a lift, because I've been quite disappointed with him. I think we all have, and it's because we know there's a player there. Like, we've seen the Freddie Ladapo that's had great spells at Ipswich and Rotherham and has been lethal, especially at this level. And when he came here, I was incredibly excited to see him come over. I thought he was going to be, you know, a really good partner for Alfie, especially considering the in and out of Chuksunike and the season-long injury of Miles. It was the sort of player we needed. Took some of the pressure off of Than Kanu. If anything, it's kind of gone the other way. He's absolutely desperate for a goal. But I think he needs to sort of focus on the attributes that he can really bring. Like, to me, he's quite a physical, he's quite a big guy, he's a physical centre forward. But it doesn't really look like he's using his physicality to his strengths. Like, everything in the air yesterday, I felt like we were second best to. I thought we were second to every ball in the air. And you're expecting, when we're pumping balls forward like they are for Jaden, obviously Jaden, that's his speciality. He wins everything in the air. You know, that's what he's good at. We need someone like Ladapo to be doing that same thing, because he's got similar, I don't know how tall he is exactly, but he's got to be fairly similar in height to Jaden Stockley. You know, he's not a small bloke. And when that ball is going long at the end, you need him to be getting his head on and trying to get the second ball knocked onto a Loa or somebody in and around that box that can try and bury a chance. And you're not seeing that for me. And yeah, I think it was disappointing. I thought at the end that was going to be the moment. If he'd have poked that in, it's a completely different, you know, impact from Freddie, and that gives him a bit of a confidence boost going into these remaining games of the season. But for me, I mean, look, I was really impressed with him when he spoke after the Lincoln game, his interview after that goal. I thought, you know, he's really grounded individual, was very self-critical and very realistic about what his impact had been so far. And I'm kind of desperate for him to do well, because he comes across as a very, very likable guy. But it's just not working for him at the moment. And obviously, he's not getting in the side over Than Kanu. Obviously, Dan's been absolutely unbelievable under under Nathan. So that's not saying that he should be. But, you know, if you're Freddie Ladapo, you're a championship forward. You want to be coming into this side and making an impact, getting your minutes. And I just don't feel like this has worked out for him so far.
I mean, Isaac's saying, look at what Freddie did against us for Ipswich last season. He looked brilliant, but as Dudley points out, that was against our defence. Maybe saying, especially last season, anyone could have looked brilliant. Keith said he should have hit it low and hard across the goalkeeper with his chance. But yeah, it just hasn't got going, unfortunately, for us in a championship. I mean, their chances at the end, obviously, not long after their goal, there was that bizarre one where... So we think it was Small that hit the clearance against Gillespie that drifted just wide. But from where we were sat in the stand, it genuinely looked like it had gone in. A couple of Fleetwood fans were up and I was like, oh, goodness me. But thankfully that dropped wide. And then Harry made a very good save, the close range header from Lonergan. And he did make a string of decent saves yesterday, Harry. So whereas he might have been disappointed with the goal, I think with his saves, you may have felt he made up for it, especially that last one. It was point blank. He just had to get himself in the way and he did his job there.
Yeah, I think, as I said earlier, he did well with the shots he faced. It was that one at the end. He made himself really big, didn't he? And he just jumped at it. And yeah, it was a weird angle because the ball then span around right to... It looked like it would bounce straight back in, but it went over to the side again. So yeah, look, he done well with what he had to face yesterday. And especially as I think, again, as I said earlier, when we went 1-0 up, we didn't then in that second half take the game to them. It was kind of when we got the goal at that time and then half time, it took the sting out of it. We should have then been kicking on in that second half and really going for them. But as I said before, of course, they're going to throw everything at us. They got nothing to lose anymore. They've come from nowhere. They're on a great run of form, but they haven't lost in about seven, I think, to stay up. So if they stay up, it's a miracle really for them. So Charlie Adams come in, he's got them firing. He's got them going well now, as I said. But yeah, I just think when... we're a better quality of team. We should have, and the confidence we've had from recent games. I mean, Nathan Jones has come in. He's done a really good job with this side. There's obviously confidence going through after we've got results against top sides. So I'm looking at performances, expecting us to kick on a little bit more. And I think going back to what you just said about Freddie, you've got to look, how many chances is he getting? I mean, he's come on there in, the 84th minute. Yes, he gets his one chance. You want, as Lewis said, if he gets that chance, he scores it. You think, okay, might see a different Freddie Ladapo now. But we're having no creativity in that team, barely. Our goals are coming from long punts forward and knockdowns and the fantastic work Alfie May and Daniel Carner were doing just by putting defenders under pressure, running around and causing a nuisance. I mean, look at last week when we scored our goals. So I think that's a problem there. And we're kind of... with our formation, we're inviting pressure on because we're not going to them. Like, we haven't got the players to do that. Understand us doing that at the start. And Nathan hasn't had a chance yet to kind of play with the formation because we haven't had time. But I think now in the next couple of weeks, sorry, I've gone right off the subject here, but in the next couple of weeks, we've got time off. We might see him play with the formation and us actually take the game a bit more to these teams.
Yeah, Ray said he's just leaving for the trip home from the Northwest currently. So have a good trip back, Ray. He said it was a battling performance. A draw was probably a fair result. What a rustic pitch it was. Keith said, good morning, Alex. Still unbeaten despite a poor game on a poor pitch. I mean, it certainly became a talking point yesterday, Lewis, the playing surface. I think Nathan Jones described it as rustic in the build-up, which caused some consternation inside the stadium, you'll find after. But it was a crap playing surface. There's no getting away from it. And I mean, do you think that affected the way we play? I certainly think not just the pitch, but the way the game went affected why Lua Loire didn't come on till the end, because it wasn't really a game for him. But yeah, I mean, the playing surface left a lot to be desired, I'd suggest.
100%. It changes the game. I mean, obviously, they play on it every other week, so that's their strength is to go long, and then they're relying on Stockley to knock it on, and it will stick to whoever they've got up with him. But for us, you know, we're a little bit more possession based. I feel like we try and hold on to the ball. We play play around at the back, we play it through the midfield and look for our chances that way, because we don't have that physicality in the side. You know, we don't have the wingers to cross the balls. We play that quite a narrow system. I think it was, yeah, I agree with you on the Loire thing as well, because I thought that we needed to try and stretch to get that second goal. And I think on any other sort of surface where you can play the ball on the floor, you're going to bring on a Loire, because on that surface yesterday, he's not going to make a difference. I mean, even if he gets the ball to feet and he tries to make a mazy run, I don't think you're going to get the ball. It's just not going to happen. It's on the mud. He'd be over on his backside before he could even start the run. But it was, yeah, it's challenging. And obviously back end of this season and weather and stuff, you do get some of the pitches that are a little bit less kept than others. But look, you have to adapt. You know, we are in League One, and a lot of the sides have got similar pitches will be in similar states this time of the year. And we have to find a way to play with that. But I just don't think it suits our game. And we obviously had to adapt, which is why we were sort of playing it long a lot more and trying to get the ball up and trying to get it to stick. But it just wasn't happening because I feel we lack that physicality in the final third to hold the ball up. But look, it was challenging, very, very challenging. But we do have to learn to deal with it, because we'll probably come up against it in a couple more games this season where there's going to be some difficult playing surfaces to come up against and sides that are better equipped to it. So, yeah, look, it's something we need to work on. I think for us, if we were that little bit more assured defensively, it wouldn't have been as much of a problem. But I think we struggled with that yesterday. Stockley, for any defence, I think is a bit of a nightmare. And for us to deal with him, he almost takes a centre-half out of the game immediately, doesn't he? Because you need someone on him the whole time. And then you're relying on the others. And I feel like maybe our stronger defensive players would have been tied up with Stockley yesterday, and those that maybe aren't as strong would have been relied upon to carry out the rest of their defensive duties. And we saw some wobbles again yesterday because of that, I feel.
No, Andrea says at least Stockley didn't score. He scored at the Valley, didn't he, old Jaden? Paul was asking if he thought the pitch and the wind had something to do with how we play. That's certainly what Nathan thought. Nathan called it a disgrace. So he didn't know how that could be allowed in a football league ground, and said it made it a farce, really, which is not my words, the words of Nathan Jones there. Dudley says that we can't allow the ball to bounce in our box from long throws. Defence is the first thing that Nathan has to address in the summer, because the defending was very, very suspect, which, yeah, I think is a fair point. So, yeah, I mentioned Loire. So the one thing I will say is just I literally had to run out of ground to make sure I could get home last night, because there were train cancellations and whatnot. But actually, I made home in very good time, which was good. But I did have a chance to just quickly speak to Kazenga Luar and just ask him if he is actually Jan Kermigan's brother-in-law. And he's like, no, he doesn't know where that's come from. So that Wikipedia page is bang wrong. So yeah, we didn't see much of him yesterday, Ben. As I said, as the game was wearing on, I was thinking, right, you're not going to chuck him on to play as a winger. He came on literally the last couple of minutes just to play up front alongside Ladapo, and he barely got a touch of the ball just because it wasn't his type of game. And he didn't have very long to do anything anyway. But, you know, he's here now. He was one we talked about the last couple of weeks. Are you excited to see, I guess, if he's still got it? Because he's 33. You know, 10 years ago, he was one of the best players in League One. Are we expecting that from him still?
I don't really know the standard of the Greek second division. So, well, I call it Super League 2, I saw that he was at. So he's played a number of games there. So it's not like we're getting an injured player in. As Nathan said in his interview on Friday, we're getting someone who's fit enough to be play on the moon or whatever he said. So I'm excited because I think I'm excited by wingers, and we are missing wingers. And two of our best players in the last couple of seasons have been wingers in Rakitić and Corey Blackett-Taylor. So we know that how vital these wingers are. And as I said earlier about not getting enough chances to our front men, that's where our chances are going to come from. Someone like him to create chances for Alfie. And if you've got Thierry Small down one side, him down the other, just becoming a nuisance. And as we said earlier, if Connor Wickham was fit yesterday to come off the bench, that would have been massive for us, because we saw the impact he made last week. And if you're a defender and you've got Connor Wickham coming on and you've got Kazenga Luwalawa running at you with pace and you're getting tired in the last 15 minutes of a game, then that's a nightmare for you. So having someone like him, yeah, brilliant. And it's someone now that we can kind of give these minutes to and excite us and think what we've got for next season. It's a trial for next season, really. And yeah, it's a massive position that we need in our squad. Now, obviously, we've got, what, 7 games left so for him to make an impact. And as I said, Nathan has got his time now to mix it up and try different formations of ways of working. So, I see it as a positive. I know it's not a massive signing for the future that you'd hope for because he is 33. But look, we've got to get out of this league. And if he's someone that can give us an amazing season next season and really propel us up to the championship, then brilliant. I think we've lacked experience this season and the know-how and players that have been there, done that, haven't we? So, yeah, that's someone that has got that. So if he can bring that to us, then brilliant.
Yeah, I don't think I'm imagining this, but I'm fairly confident that Michael Appleton, when he was here, spoke about the squad maybe being a bit young as well. If I remember all that, so there will be an element of getting some experience in to find that right balance. Right, we're going to hear now from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. So close your ears if you're involved with the maintenance of the pitch at Fleetwood Town. These are his thoughts on yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Fleetwood. At Fleetwood, how did you see it today?
It's just a brutal game. I mean, the conditions, the pitch, the importance to both sides. It wasn't a spectacle, really. It was just a grind, and just had to compete and headers and do stuff. No real quality in the game. Just get a point, get back on the bus, and back home we go.
Yeah, you mentioned the pitch and the build-up. Do you think that did play a part today then?
I think it's a disgrace. I think the pitch is a disgrace. I've got to be honest with you. It's, I don't know how a football league ground can be like this. But for whatever reason, whether it's weather, whether it's... I don't know. But it does. It just makes a spectacle, a farce, really. And then with the wind, add to it, the wind kills it, really, then. So very difficult to have any kind of a spectacle. Look, it's a point, probably a fair result in the end, but the fans are paying for that, and with the state of it, with that, then I'm not sure I'd want to pay for that.
Just some frustration with the position you found yourselves in close to the end, you couldn't hold on.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think they had we both for chances. I think Harry's made a couple of saves, we've missed a couple of chances. So I think it's a fair result. If I'm honest, as I said, we would have loved to win the game. That would have put us in a position which we wanted to be in. The goal's really poor to give away. I mean, they probably would say the same. So look, I think it's a fair result. But when you lead and you go into your 80th minute and you're leading, then you want to see it out. But it was just that type of game. Something was going to fall for someone or something.
And it keeps the unbeaten run going, of course, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, it is. But we would have loved to have won today because it would have put us in a really good position in terms of everything. But look, you can't win everything, and it's a difficult place to come to. They're on a good run themselves. It was a brutal game. I mean, I thought Cheltenham was brutal. This was unbelievable.
got to see your new signing only for a very short spell right at the end of the game. Kazenga, what can Cheltenham fans expect from him going forward?
Well, look, more than what you saw there, because as I said, he's very late for him to come on. I just thought something fell to him and he could shift and shoot and he could give us something. But look, they all give me everything today. It was just, we probably needed to see the game out, and that's what we didn't.
Just finally, no Connor Wickham today. Is he suffering with an injury?
Yeah, he tweaked the last week. He came on and tweaked his thigh slightly. We brought him up. He trained yesterday but couldn't go properly, so we had to pull him.
Did you fear it might be a long term one, or hopefully a short one?
No. I just think it's a short term thing. It was a precautionary one, so yeah, so that it was.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Cheltenham fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, after yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Fleetwood. Tobias says, poor sod's always freezing. Someone buy him a jumper. It's bizarre when he comes out to speak to us. He is genuinely, looks like he's been just been left in the freezer since full time. And like during the game, he seems fine. I guess when you, all that adrenaline of managing for 90 minutes just sort of seeps away, and he actually realises it's actually quite cold in quite a lot of places in League One. So yeah, he did look very cold. It was a short and sweet interview yesterday, Lou, because I literally, the second I stopped speaking to him, I ran to get to the bus to get home. But I mean, he spoke a little bit about Connor Wickham. Yeah, frustrating that he's picked up something called Reddy. Hopefully, just a minor one. He did travel to the Northwest, so it's not like they thought he was going to completely leave him out, but they decided just it wasn't worth the risk. Because, I mean, really, in these next few weeks, we want to see what he's all about, and we want to get as many chances as possible to do that.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it is a minor one. You know, I think saw a comment on there saying he probably hurt himself doing the bicycle kick, which made me laugh. But yeah, you know, I think Connor, given the impact that he made last week as well, when he came on, he was a strong physical player. He's played at a decent level for most of his career. Obviously, we know he has got a bit of a historic injury record. But yeah, you know, he's one of those, as you say, we want to try and have a good look at over the next couple of weeks. And if he can keep fit and make an impact, then you don't rule him out of earning a longer, you know, deal beyond the end of this season, really, if he's someone that we think is going to bring something. He's done it at this level before. He's played at lots of clubs and has a good record at most of those clubs, taking the injuries aside. So yeah, look, hopefully it's only minor and we can see him you know, play a lot more between now and the end of the season. I think it'd be good to get him back for Easter weekend, because they're two quite physical games, Exeter and Stevenage especially, so it'd be good to have him fit for those you know, back to games in quick succession again. So yeah, around that time, it's going to be good to have most of our squad fit. Really want to have a look at who's going to be worthy of a deal next year. You know, we're getting close to the end now, so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what players we do start looking at, what systems, if we start changing systems, to see what sort of players fit where, and see who's going to be part of Nathan's plans next season and who might not be.
Yeah, all hell let loose. Just said didn't ask about Lloyd Jones. So Nathan was asked about Lloyd on Thursday in the press conference. He said he's had an injection or something. So I didn't see the point of asking again. He's just coming out the other side of that. So hopefully he'll be back by Exeter. Obviously that's now a two week run with no game up until then. So that should be okay. Martin asked earlier on, which I meant to come back to, said, will we ever sign a long throw specialist, Ben? So we've seen Reading do it to us, we've seen Fleetwood do it to us. I mean, there's no shaming in having like a long throw specialist in League One. I don't know if you go out to sign someone specifically for that. I mean, again, I don't know if I'm imagining this. Hasn't Alfie been trying to take long throws at times this season? Maybe once or twice. We haven't really taken massive advantage of them from memory.
Didn't Gillespie take a couple yesterday?
Maybe. Yeah, I can't remember anything coming from them. They weren't the most memorable long throws if we did.
Well, no, the first one he did. And I was like, what are you doing? Because no one had come up from the back. And then it went straight out again for another throw. And then we did, I think Terrell went up there and we tried something. Again, I think that comes with pre-season, doesn't it? Working out the right ways to score. And we have tried a few different corner routines and different people on corners. I thought Small took a good number of corners yesterday, actually, that he put in well. But yeah, look, mate, any advantage we can get in this league, we know sometimes it doesn't have to be pretty. just trying to get one over on other teams for us to score. But yeah, you're right. With Alfie's definitely taken a few as well. But I don't like him. He was on coolness last week against Carlisle a couple times and taking France. I mean, come on, he's a poacher. We need him in the box every opportunity. But yeah, look, mate. I mean, look at the nuisance they called us yesterday with doing those long throws and on that pitch. So yeah, anything that we can gain the advantage, let's go for it. As long as we don't do a Nottingham Forest and get a flipping referee advisor in or something like that. Nonsense.
Yeah, we need a pitch advisor based on what Nathan said yesterday. Doogie said, thought it was a battling performance in difficult conditions and a rustic pitch. The plus points are it's another game unbeaten, no new injury concerns. Jim's Bar says maybe this should be at the top. Is that the I think that's like the clubhouse at Fleetwood. I've never had a chance to go in, but everyone every season says it's really good in there. Says the negatives are another defensive mistake. And then there was a point from Andrew as well, which he messaged earlier saying Minto asked Brownie and Lisby who they would get rid of from the squad, and they ducked the question just saying 4 to 6 players. Yes, the complete defence, in my opinion, that's Andrew. Any defenders retained should be second choices. I mean, it is going to start to come to that part of the season, Lou, where Nathan will 100% be thinking about this. I think I used the phrase the other day, like, when you get to this stage of the season, you're sort of humouring players because you're playing them, but you think, you ain't going to be here next season, unfortunately, my friend. And Nathan will be doing that to an extent because obviously he's got to work with what he's got at the moment. But, you know, what we saw yesterday and what we've seen at large swathes of this season shows that, you know, that there is work to do. And Nathan's done really well to get a tune out of a squad that hasn't performed well for the majority of the season. But overall, you know, sometimes you need the quality and the quantity to go with the manager who's getting the best out of them.
You do, yeah. And I think Nathan said it a few weeks ago, didn't he, that he thinks the squad's a little bit large and could do with trimming down, which I think, given that we've got used to sort of our injury record as a club over the last few years, we're all a little bit like, oh, because we don't want to be too short of numbers. But also you look at that and it does have to be quality over quantity. You know, we've got a lot of players, but there are players that we haven't seen. You know, our loans, I think this, I've said quite a few times, our loans this season, I think have been, you know, not as such as players, but I think the decisions in those loans have been pretty appalling. I think, you know, Pan Kamara was probably the highlight and we've not seen him for a few weeks. Louis Watson had that spell. We've not seen him. And then you're looking at the Fiorinis, the Ted Cheers and a Banquo. I forgot about him the other day. I said him to Stevie Brown last week and he forgot he even existed. So, you know, those players, I think at this level, you have to rely on the loan market. It has to be effective. We've seen it so many years where our loan choices have been some of the better players, better performers, the likes of the Josh Cullens, Christian Bielik, Conor Gallagher's, you know, they're the players that make the impacts. We haven't seen that for quite a few years now, I think. And there's never been that phase of don't fall in love with a loan player. I don't think I have for some time now. But you have to use your loan spaces. And also, you know, we've got a couple of players, I think, that probably just don't fit in with that. This 8+8+8 system that they want to implement. For me, I think, you know, one of your best eight has to be your goalkeeper. I don't think either goalkeeper would fall into an elite eight. And then throughout the squad, I'm just looking at like Alfie May and I'm kind of like clutching at straws for elite players. For me, you know, there's a big, it's another rebuild that needs to be done, isn't it? We've got quite a bit of deadwood out there. We've got, you know, like Scott Fraser, he's out on loan, Conor McGrandles, these players that aren't really part of the plans. What we do with those is going to be interesting. And then the people now that are coming to the end of their deals, you know, are they going to be offered something or do we see, you know, that area or somewhere we want to improve? You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, what we can't get sucked into is players always put it in the last few games, don't they? Because they want to earn that deal. I think we have to be quite ruthless in our rebuild this time. And Nathan strikes me as a sort of character that would be quite ruthless in what he wants. I don't feel like what we're playing now is what he wants to play for the long haul because we don't have the options to switch it up. So I think it's going to be interesting to see that the calibre and the types of players he brings in, because I can see us switching back to a diamond for our sort of default system. And then, you know, the likes of Luwa coming in now, it's an interesting one, but maybe he wants to get wingers into the club. So we have that opportunity to switch if a game's not sitting our way in a diamond and we're lacking creativity, that we have the option to switch out to wingers and try and get into games that way. So it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. Another summer rebuild seems to be like rinse and repeat every season. But for me, like as long as Nathan's the one doing the recruiting and getting the say on the players, I mean, I have every faith in Nathan because of what he's done for us so far. So if he's given the opportunity to do what he wants in the summer, then I think it's going to be a good window.
Yeah, I mean, Keith says, I think Nathan will have a big clear out in the summer, assuming he gets the boards back in. And Michael very fairly does point out that we have a rebuild every summer. It really works out, though. Yeah, which is true. Andrew saying about how, you know, we have conceded 58 goals this season. So we've got the sixth worst defence currently in the division on goals per match. So Bristol Rovers have actually played one fewer and conceded one fewer. So their actual goals per match is worse than us, but we've conceded more goals than them, if that makes sense. Fifth or sixth worst defence, depending on which stat you look at. Robert saying, where's Terry Taylor? Surely he gets a run out soon. Now, we've got a lot of central midfielders. As far as I'm aware, Terry's fit because he's been playing in those 21s, hasn't he, games. So I think he's just down to pecking on it. You know, I'd seen nothing from him when he was fit to suggest he should be absolutely banging on the door right now. I just don't think he's being picked. And then the same with Louis Watson, as All Hell Let Loose points out there as well. Right, let's hear. I mean, Lewis was speaking about goalkeepers there. Well, let's hear from one of them. Yesterday, Harry Ice did made a couple of good saves. Might have done a bit better with a goal. We spoke to Greg after yesterday's 1-1 draw up at Fleetwood.
Draw here at Fleetwood, another game unbeaten in tough conditions. Your assessment of the match?
Yeah, that's a positive taken from the game today. Is it's another game unbeaten. Obviously, the weather here, it was tough conditions to play in, and it wasn't a great game of football to watch either. And I think the only negative thing is the sloppy goal and not getting the clean sheet.
Yeah, as you say, it's a tough game to kind of watch as well, to be truthful, because of the scrappy nature of it and the way the goal came about. It's a disappointing end to look like what was going to be 3 points.
Yeah, that's the only disappointing thing, I think, in the last few matches. Even though we've won the game, the goals we have conceded, they've been sloppy and avoidable. So that's the only thing bad to take away from the game, I think we had chances to win it. But it is what it is, and it is another game unbeaten.
And to your credit, you made a couple of vital saves towards the end as well. Talk us through those. The one at the end, it was where you left arm out in the air. Certainly looked like a good save from where I was.
Yeah, it's just one of those ones, point blank, and you make yourself big and you hope it hits you. And unfortunately, he was close enough to me where I don't think he had much of a choice to just head it at me. And yeah, it's nice to make those saves. And it's just disappointing not to keep the clean sheet.
Since he's come in, Nathan Jones has reunited with yourself after being together at Luton. How have you found him being back at Cheltenham working with this group?
Yeah, I've said it before in other interviews. He drives the standards and he's got a way of playing, and he drives that into us. And it's a proper structure, and we've been getting joy off it, and it's working for us. And we've got the players to do what he wants. And yeah, it's more about the driving the standards every day in training and keeping the level at an elite level.
And you've had a consistent defence in front of you as well. There's a bit of youth in that, a bit of experience, but how have you found working with those guys?
Yeah, I train every day, and I'm confident with whatever steps in front of me. But yeah, the lads in front of me, I'm confident, and hopefully that's relayed as well, and then they're confident with me behind them.
And what's your targets for the rest of the season, personally and for a team as well?
I think personally and as a team, stay unbeaten, as many clean sheets as possible, as many points as possible. That's all we can really ask for, yeah.
And certainly over the last few weeks, I mean, the Northampton game for yourself must have been difficult, but to your credit, you've bounced back really well. How have you found the last few weeks?
Yeah, I know I was the idiot who chose to be a goalkeeper when I was younger, and you make mistakes, and when you make a mistake, it's normally a goal to the other team, and yeah, it's just a goldfish moment, and I just forget about it, and you've got a job to do, so there's no point dwelling on that.
And now looking ahead, you've got a little bit of a break in terms of no fixtures, but probably working under Nathan Jones before, you'll be aware that he won't want you to rest too much. But you got any plans for the next week or so?
We don't know the plan for next week anyway, but yeah, whatever the plan is, whether it be a bit of time off to just relax and put my feet up and not do too much. And if we're in, then it's in for a purpose and to better ourselves as a team.
And finally, over 500 Cheltenham fans made a journey today. It feels like we've been on the road for forever over the last few weeks. A quick word for them.
Yeah, they always travel in their numbers, and it's always great support. So yeah, it's a credit to them, especially in a day like today as well. They're probably freezing. But yeah, another away trip next to Exeter. So I hope they turn up for that as well.
Cheers, Harry. Thanks for your time.
There you go. That's Harry Eisted speaking to Stubbers after yesterday's game over at Fleetwood. Stuart said, I watched it yesterday. I was waiting for one of the seagulls to plop one on his bonds. Yeah. Robert says Fleetwood have Cheltenham next. A win for us should confirm safety if that's a draw. Honestly, Robert, we're fine. We don't need to worry about that. We're in League One next season. Everyone celebrate. We'll be fine. We'll go through it all again. Right, it's time to bring in our guest fan, a man who was wined and dined up at Fleetwood Town yesterday. the one game he's gone in hospitality ever, and now he's coming on here to show off about it. So welcome to the show is Paul Davenport. How you doing, Paul?
Thanks, Lou. Thanks a lot for having me on. Privilege is all mine. Yeah, I was the only Cheltenham fan in a room of about 250 cods, so that was interesting. Just to say, I'm far too old to get the badge in, but of course, I'm rocking the matching Cheltenham Life mug and my Red Robins retro shirt. And just to apologise for the somewhat chaotic virtual background, it was marked as a box room full of toot. And I think full of toot was probably quite a good segue into what we saw yesterday. So I think the pitch, the cabbage patch and the swirling wind certainly provide mitigation, but certainly not for that comic cuts defending in inverted commas for that equaliser.
Same old, really. Yeah, well, yeah, it's something we have got sadly a little bit too used to over the course of the season. So yeah, I mean, other than your experience, again, what you shin of beef, which I didn't realise they had shins, but other than your experience of having that, tell us about your day yesterday. How did you enjoy the game overall, and your trip up to Fleetwood?
Yeah, well, it was a long day. I mean, I set the alarm for 5:30, and the cat got me up at 5:00, and I thought, well, I'd better stay up. I looked at the National Network Rail app, said, oh, your 8:30 is cancelled, which didn't surprise me. So I had enough time to get up for the 7:30, but they wouldn't let me on. They said, well, it's actually the 8:30 is not cancelled. It's cancelled beyond Preston, so you can still get on it. And it was about 20 minutes late coming into Euston anyway. And then I found out it was going all the way to Glasgow Central. So I don't know. Anyway, so we got to Blackpool North eventually. And I don't want to go down the rabbit hole straight away, but the last time I went to Fleetwood, I actually got engaged 30 years ago in September. And we stayed at a caravan park in Fleetwood called the Carla Gran. And the cabbie that picked me up, I said, could you take me to the stadium, but can you call in at the Carla Gran? And he said, oh, are you up for the football? I said, yeah. He said, oh, I've got a good friend. He used to play for Cheltenham. And I thought he'd have played, you know, reserve games, a couple of cup games. He said, I said, who's that then? He said, oh, Peter Shurtleff. And I said, what do you mean? Captain Fantastic, legend Peter Shurtleff. I didn't quite say it like that. And he said, yeah, it turns out that this chap's wife and Peter's wife are sort of big mates from of old. So I thought that was quite an interesting turn. So, yeah, that was good. And then we got to the stadium. As I say, I was fully expecting a sort of room of a few Cheltenham fans at least. And I said, well, we put you in here. And they led me into this massive suite full of cods. So I was like, oops. But I sat with some very friendly season ticket holders. And then we were joined by 4 ex-players. And they were sort of telling some fascinating stories. And the guy that sat next to him was a guy called Steve Hesford. And it turned out he played about 20 games, but then he went into rugby league because he preferred that. And he ended up playing 13 years for Warrington Wolves. And he was their record point scorer for many, many years. So that was just, again, an interesting turn. But, yeah, I went and stood in the Percy Ronson shed. And, yeah, that was an interesting experience. I think they were missing the straw, and that would have made it, you know, proper. But yeah, I mean, the game was, as you say, I mean, that pitch was barely playable. The wind didn't make it easy. But like I say, you know, that equaliser, we had, I think, 2 or 3 players converging on one man for a throw. They play through to Graydon and he's on his bike and off he goes. And obviously Harry tries to clean him out. It was an unfortunate ricochet, I think. But still, it was, you know, as I say, sort of same old, really. So quite disappointing, but it's a point. As Nate would say, it's a point on the board. We're well away from relegation. I think you said yourself, Louis, last week, the season's petering out, which is sort of a positive, really, considering where we could have been sort of a month, 6 weeks ago. So, yeah.
Morning, Paul. I'm going to ask you quite a brutal question. It's one that Minto asked Brownie yesterday. Players, so next season, as you say, the season's petering out now. So next season, what out of that 11 yesterday, if we take as an example, how many of those do you see in Nathan Jones's plans for next season, if you were to hazard a guess?
Probably 5 or 6. I mean, obviously, Dan and Alfie, as you said. I mean, we used to say last season where we'd be without Jez and Jez's goals, where we've been without Alfie's 25, is it, this season so far? Dan has really come on so strong since the Southend loan. He's a revelation. Obviously, Connor, I thought that the trio in midfield, Connor, Karoy, Dobbo. But of course, I don't know if Dobbo's still going to be going. He's supposed to have this pre-contract, he may be going off to Hungary. But I think they work really well. I mean, McCauley, he was lauded for that goal-saving tackle a few weeks ago. But he was actually running across the field rather than running after. And I think he lacks pace. Terrell is a solid citizen, but he's no more than a squad player. I think Thierry's excellent. I mean, he's really, really good. And he gives us some power going forward. I don't know that we miss Corey that much now. I think he could do that sort of job. So, you know, there's still the issue about the keepers, isn't there? So, as I say, maybe sort of 5 or 6. But you talked about Connor. I mean, Connor Wickham. I mean, Connor in his prime. I mean, you know, Palace played, 5-6 million for him about 10 years ago. But sadly, his latter career has been characterised by these short-term loans. And I think, you know, his fitness, sadly, I mean, he's almost like another Chooks. We all love Chooks, of course. But, you know, you can't keep players on the team, in the squad, that can't give you those long-term, you know, 50 games a season. I went to the Bromley Addicts before Christmas. Andy Scott said, you know, we're looking for a sort of template of players that can play 50, 60 games a season. You know, that we don't necessarily need to rotate. And clearly, Connor, Chooks aren't of that ilk. So I think we have to be quite, I mean, you mentioned being brutal. That's a brutal question, Lewis. I think we have to be, you know, we do have to be brutal. And you know, there's no sentiment in business, as the cliche goes. So, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, 5, 6, maybe at most. Some of the players we brought in, sort of Freddie, shows flashes. But, you know, we sort of want that sort of guarantee, don't we, really? So I'm hoping that the ownership will push the boat out and maybe bring about sort of 4 or 5, you know, top quality, not squad players in.
Morning, Paul. I don't know if I should ask a question, because I enjoyed listening to your trip up there. I'm wondering if the trip on the way home was as fun, but
no, but anyway.
For me, I think obviously I've just come on and talking about trying to work out a different formation now with these last 7 games. Trying to just have something for ourselves to look forward to, because these games, I think, again, a bit drab at the moment. Well, how do you see these last 7 games? Do you see them as stuff to look forward to now, new stuff to try? Is there any joy you think we can take from these games?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's much joy we've been able to take the last few years, has there been, really? But I think, yeah, I mean, we've got those 7 games left. I think we're pretty much safe now, aren't we, really? Let's just experiment. Let's just see, maybe, you know, tweak with a few formations. I mean, you're talking to a traditional sort of 4-4-2 man, sort of midfield diamond person, really. I don't hold much chat with these sort of 3-5-2s and whatever. But yeah, I think you need a solid base, really. And then you're sort of 2 up front. So, yeah, let's see. I suspect Nathan will use it for experimentation and to see, you know, just what he's got. Well, I think he knows what he's got, doesn't he, really? But as I say, you know, the fact that he's managed to get a tune out of a lot of these players is testament to him, really. So, you know, fair play.
Excellent. Well, Paul, massive thanks for joining us as guest fan this week. I hope you've got a good Sunday planned. Obviously, after hospitality, yes, I assume you're going to the Ritz or something
this
afternoon. Yeah. But yeah, brilliant. Thanks for sharing your stories of yesterday. As Brazilian says, Paul Davenport, what a geezer.
Yeah, I'm paying to say that. But anyway, thanks a lot, Louis. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Cheers. There we go. That's Paul Davenport, who was this week's guest fan and done a very good job as well. Just finally, Signals Ryder says, morning all, yesterday's game was so dull. Unfortunately, there is still a mistake in us. As others have said, I believe there will be a good clear out in the summer. And yeah, as Ben referenced here now, I just think the end of this season will be interesting to see exactly what Nathan does to maybe experiment a little bit with the squad. I mean, Brazilians is saying after yesterday, I think we need more than I realised. Fleetwood were all over us at times, and technically we aren't mathematically safe. We should still be fighting. I'm not as nervous about staying up now. I think we're effectively there. Maybe 1 or 2 more points, but I think I probably said that before yesterday. I generally think we don't need to worry about that. But yeah, you do hope to see slightly better performances perhaps between now and the end of the season. Right, we have run out of time. This is the end of the show. So massive thanks to everyone who's joined us live on YouTube this morning, and put your comments in the chat. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button right below the video there to make sure you never miss us again, either when we go live on a Sunday and a Thursday or on the catch up as well. You can do the same on your podcast apps as well. Thanks for everyone who's just listened via the podcast. Make sure you subscribe on there as well so you'll never miss another show. Big thanks to Paul. Our poshest ever guest fan. Obviously, he's used to the high life now because he went in hospitality at Fleetwood. I can't believe he did that the day before he was coming on the show. That's just bad timing, really. But yeah, I hope you had a good day yesterday. Massive thanks for joining us. Massive thanks, Lou and Ben. As always, good to speak to the pair of you.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, everyone.
So we're heading into the international break now, actually. So no shows next Thursday. No shows on Sunday either. If you can get around to go and see a non-league game or another game, make sure you do. I'm at Bromley next week. I'm sure there's plenty of games in the southeast of London that we can go and watch. So we'll be back. So the next game is the Friday, Good Friday game at Exeter. So we'll probably do the show on the Wednesday evening, but we'll put it out on our social media when I've worked out what the plan is to look ahead to that game. But I'll let you know. But yeah, massive thanks to everyone who's joined us this morning. I'm Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We'll see you whenever it is that we actually see you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.